Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And as we do every Tuesday at 9 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in our good friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, what's going on?
I'm doing well this morning. How are you guys doing?
We're great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. Charles, have you seen Tom Brady's TikTok? What's this guy doing? It's amazing. Just in general, not a specific one.
I've seen some of it. It's pretty funny. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, he's definitely got a knack for social media. I don't think he's quite on Peyton Manning's level yet with the future opportunities, but he's a pretty humorous guy. I gotta give him credit.
So Charles, we're a couple of days away now from the NFL draft. What intrigues you the most as we head into the first round coming up in a couple of days? What are you most looking forward to figuring out about this draft?
I think we talked about it last week that this is just it's so wide open and that we're so late into the process now and you still have teams trying to figure out, you know, how this thing is going to unroll. And you know, Sunday night, usually I have a particular guy in the league that I try to dial in during draft week, typically on Monday of draft week. He kind of helps me sort out what's going to happen, particularly at the top. And he hit me late Sunday night, and I thought he was calling me to kind of spell it out. And he was like, hey, what are you hearing? You know, he can't figure it out. He can't, you know, make heads or tails of how things are going to stack up, you know, in the first 10 picks. And that's remarkable for a Tuesday that you still have, you know, we're going into Tuesday and you still have teams that are, you know, we could have 2-3 surprises in the top 10. We could have, you know, offensive tackle sliding, you know, Kayvon Thibodeaux, who some people thought was going to be the number one pick in the draft, might not even be in the top 10. You know, you have certain injured guys that I think as we get closer, like Derek Stingley Jr., the corner out of LSU, I think as we get, you know, closer to the draft and teams are really looking for special traits players, they're going to sit there and they're going to look at Stingley, they're going to look at Jameson Williams at Alabama, they're going to say, here's two guys who very easily could have been in the top 5 or 6 picks in this draft had they been 100% healthy. They aren't. But now should we push them back toward, you know, the top of our draft board just because we're not seeing a lot of special traits players in this draft? So do we want to gamble a little bit on some of the injured guys? You know, Jordan Davis, another guy, the Georgia interior tackle, who when you talk to teams, they go, hey, the pass rush repertoire isn't there. However, from an athletic standpoint, they're like, he does things that you just don't see from a player of his size. It's remarkable. So teams are sitting there going, well, you know, probably supposed to be like a top 15, you know, top 20 pick. Maybe this guy should be inside the top 10 just because of the fact that he's so special as an athlete and there's so much more we could potentially get out of him. So, I just think it's really, you know, interesting that, I mean, even Malik Willis, there's a chance he might not be a first-round pick. There's also a chance that, like Atlanta at 8 could take him and nobody sees that really coming. It's just so wild that we have this many different things going on this late into a draft. And I know the class itself is boring. I don't think the draft is going to be boring to watch because I think it's such an unknown.
So right now, Charles, I say, okay, 5 years from now, you have to pick one of these quarterbacks who is going to live up to draft status or be, you know, a top 15 QB in the league or whatever. Who are you hitching your wagon to?
I'm going to say Willis only because absolute boomer bust kind of guy when you talk to teams. Like some teams just absolutely do not like him. You know, don't like think he's being way overrated based on, you know, some of the traits, the fact that he, you know, he does have an arm. The fact that, you know, he's very dangerous as a two-way quarterback. But, like, to me, we named him to our, you know, we do Terrez Paylor's all-juice team, myself and Eric Edholm. He ended up being our all-juice quarterback just because we were like, look, you know, the teams that like him really like him a lot. I had as a matter of fact, an AFC team that has a very viable starting quarterback, who straight up told me, like, they were thinking long and hard about taking Willis, even though they have a viable starting quarterback, and they knew it would cause them a lot of problems, because all of a sudden everybody would be like, oh my God, you're cutting this guy loose, like, you're moving on from this guy. And he just said it was just because we had done so much work on Josh Allen. And he said to me, look, he said, I think he's a more accurate passer at this stage of his career than Josh Allen. He said, the frame's different. He said, it's not a perfect one for one. But he said, you know, people are killing him because he played a couple of big, you know, big time programs, big games, Ole Miss. He's, you know, he threw a bunch of picks. He said, I broke down Josh Allen. He threw a bunch of picks against Iowa. He's like, there's a lot of similarities between these two in terms of the development that's there left on the table. And, you know, Malik Willis to me is kind of where the position's going in the NFL. We're, you know, cyclical, of course, but we're cycling clearly into more of the quarterbacks that are able to do, you know, different things off script, who, you know, have the ability to run but still have strong arms. He fits that. Now, he's not the perfect template at all. None of these quarterbacks are. But I guess I would lean into the player that I feel like we're seeing that position, you know, trend and transform into. Now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, could be cycling back into, you know, Tom Brady, the statue pocket guys, maybe, but that's not where it's going right now. So, but again, that's what's so crazy about this. Some teams love Willis, think he's a top 10 pick. Other teams are like, not even in our first round and, you know, would not take him if they're sitting there at the bottom of the first round and Willis quote unquote slides, they'd pass. They would have no qualms about, you know, making calls to teams that have second round picks and saying, hey, you want to move up and take this guy.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So Charles, what are your thoughts on the Deebo Samuel situation in San Francisco? Obviously it was put out there that he's requested a trade. Now that does not mean necessarily that the 49ers have to do that, but what are your thoughts on that? And how likely do you think it is that he will be dealt from San Francisco?
Well, the intriguing thing is they definitely don't want to do it. Whenever you talk to, you know, any of the teams that are involved and really pursuing him and have tried to get San Francisco to open up, you know, a line of communication and you know, start talking about potential assets, you know, you just I've heard from multiple teams that San Francisco just does not want to deal with this guy. Like, this is they feel like they've been put in this position by Deebo, and it's not like a mutually. It's not mutual. Like, this idea that, hey, we got to part company. The 49ers are like, no, we're going to fix this. We got to figure out a way to fix it. Whereas you saw, like, Davante Adams and Tyreek Hill, both the Packers and the Kansas City Chiefs, once they kind of realized where the money was going, once they realized what the trade package was, they said, hey, this could be good for us. Like, you know, it's not the most ideal situation. However, it can work out for both parties. The 49ers don't feel that way. They're like, we want to pay this guy. He's fundamental to our offense. You know, he's when I did the All-Pro team this year and I made calls, you talk to teams in the NFC West and they would tell you, like, he's a more important player to their offense than George Kittle. They're like, George Kittle, great player, but, you know, Deebo Samuel, because of, you know, the flexibility, different things he can do, running the ball, catching the ball, the toughness he brings, they're like, you just see a completely different team when Debo's on the field, healthy, playing well. They're a handful on offense, and how much that can help a guy like Trey Lance, especially when Trey Lance is going to be a guy who's going to be able to run with the football and, you know, do a lot of those sort of two-way quarterback type things. You don't want to all of a sudden take Deebo out of that. So it's, you know, it's a tough spot. And the thing is with Deebo, it's clearly not just contract, because it sounds like San Francisco would be more than willing to make him the highest paid wide receiver in the NFL. But it, you know, I think Deebo, without putting words into his mouth, you know, it sounds like it's a range of things. Where he wants to live, you know, the team he wants to sort of play out his career with. I mean, I'm sure there's an element of, you know, Kyle Shanahan in there. It's very difficult to play for Kyle Shanahan because he can be a very his personality is a special brand of personality. You know, so I think it's just a lot of different things. I don't know if this gets done, honestly. If it's going to get done, I think it's got to get done on you know, before this draft or during the first round of the draft, because a first-round pick absolutely has to be included. And Deebo likely will cost more than Tyreek Hill or Davante Adams did, just because the 49ers are so adamant they don't want to move on from him.
somewhat related to Debo. Charles, A.J. Brown here, of course, same agent. Some social media stuff going on with him. And obviously, you know, it's a big deal for the Titans to lock him up. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on that situation and also Ryan Tannehill not showing up for voluntaries. Some people are outraged about this. He put out what I thought was fantastic trolling, a paid ad for Celsius with him like deep sea fishing last week, you know, while voluntaries are going on. So people are freaking out. But just your thoughts on, I guess, those two things.
Well, AJ, by the way, same agent as DK Metcalf and Debo Samuel. So mm-hmm. There's three players that are all kind of in the same template, you know, a lot of money, you know, potentially all players that I think, you know, this particular agent would say, hey, you know, if we're not going to get this deal done, now is the off season to, you know, all players are moving this off season. So let me find a trade, you know, partner. The interesting thing about AJ, when you talk to teams, like, he's definitely clearly, like, a guy that I think teams view as being, like, worth it, like, worth the trade compensation, worth the contract. He's had a good amount of consistency. What he brings to the table, the value that he has displayed with Ryan Tannehill. I actually had Jeff Darlington on our podcast last week, and, you know, he just told me, he's like, hey, you know, when I talked to Tannehill, he just raved how much you know, AJ meant to him and the relationship that they have. And he's like, and I mean, you guys know it's not like that with every number one wide receiver and their quarterback, to be able to match up those two guys is, on the same wavelength, both personally and professionally, is a really big deal. So, you know, while he might be worth it for a lot of other teams, I still think he's definitely worth it for the Titans. But it is, as John Robinson was saying at the owners meetings, a lot of money getting paid to the wide receivers, and you have to make some decisions here. And I think one of the realities that, you know, we're going to wake up to, or teams are going to wake up to as we move forward, there used to be this concept of, hey, we're building around a rookie quarterback contract. Now, if you've got like a top five, top six wide receiver in the league, you're going to have to start thinking about, now we have to build around the quarterback contract and then also the wide receiver contract. That's the kind of money that, you know, these guys are commanding, and you have to decide, you know, is this how we want to build our team? And I'm sure that's what's going in, you know, through John Robinson's mind is, you know, at some point we're going to have to, if we do this extension, we're going to have to build around him, and then we're going to have to make, you know, a future quarterback decision as well. Tannehill not showing up, I'll be completely honest with you. I think I told you this last week. I was surprised. Like, I don't understand what exactly the math is there, unless, and I guess I just never thought it would come to this kind of a situation. We're seeing where the quarterback money's going, right? And if he is going to be, you know, the long-term piece there in Tennessee, he is underpaid. His deal is very, very underpaid for what he brings to the table. I know people probably don't want to hear that, but the fact of the matter is, like, mid-level quarterbacks now, and I'm talking like your 15th, 16th, 17th guys in the league, those contracts are heading to $30 million a year. That's where this is going. And the top-level quarterbacks are going to 50. That's the Joe Burrow. That's the, you know, Justin Herbert, if all things come in the way that they're supposed to come in. Eventually Lamar Jackson, if he can, you know, put together a healthy season in 2022. You know, we're talking about upper 40s to low 50s for the next wave of quarterback contracts. And that means Ryan Tannehill, if you're keeping him, you know, he is a quarterback that you're going to have to pony up for and figure out how to move forward with that. So that's all I can tell you. It makes no sense to me. Anybody who doesn't show up, particularly a quarterback that would be expected to show up for the volunteer stuff and build chemistry, when that doesn't happen, I rarely see it. It's either a massive personality conflict, usually with a head coach and a quarterback, or it's money, one of the two.
Interesting.
That is very interesting.
Like, the idea of, like, he's underpaid, I mean, people just, like, radio's just exploded all across Nashville, so.
You agree, right?
Like, well, I know what you're saying. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
I mean, we're in an era where, you know, I think a lot of teams, a lot of, you know, fans are seeing they're seeing the types of quarterbacks they're getting these deals, and they're sitting there going, well, you know, our guy is not, you know, an elite player. He's not, you know, he's not on that level. So that's not something that we necessarily have to work, you know, to worry about. But the fact of the matter is, if you have a good quarterback that you would consider like in the top 15, remember, we were just talking about, you know, him getting screwed out of the Pro Bowl. Okay. I mean, and I know for some people they're all, you know, prisoners of the now, and they're like, hey man, that wasn't, you know, that's not now. But you have to think in terms of length and money. And so people are just going to sit and they're going to look at his salary and they're going to say, well, hey, 2022, I mean, this is a guy with a base that's basically $30 million, $30 million a year, $29 million a year. But you have to look at the years too. Okay. I think he's got to be 34, I'm guessing 33, yep. 34, right? Okay. Well, realistically, you know, if he stays healthy, I mean, he's going to play another 5 years probably. Okay, well, he's sitting there and he's looking at his deal and he's saying, well, the way it's structured, I'm totally cuttable after 2022. So there's really not a lot of security there. And if we're going to do this and we're going to stay together, let's get the new deal done so that instead of me being cuttable after 2022, I'm really probably cuttable after 2024. Like, give me 3 years of security. That's how fans have to look at it. Not just the base money, it's also the security of years. And the fact is, he does not have that. They could walk from him after 2022. And if you're Ryan Tannehill, you're probably sitting there going, hey, I would like to end my career here. Let's do the deal to make sure that's what happens.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Charles, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us.
All right, thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. Charles Robinson, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.